Before we begin, I want to thank P&G for sponsoring this episode of More Than That with Gia Peppers. You can learn more about P&G's commitment to acts of good for 2021 at png.com/takeonrace.
Okay, so what is Black art? Or what does Black art mean to you?
It depends on who you're asking. Are you asking the Black artist what Black art is? Or are you asking someone that's looking from the outside in? Because perception is important.
The business of collecting and selling African American art has a huge economic and cultural impact.
Black art is a revelation of once muzzled hearts, now unhampered, reaching the full expanse of our modern experience.
It challenges you to understand something that is different. Just because it looks like something that resembles you doesn't mean that you have understanding.
How could we even know our history without the stories left for us in the form of art?
On this episode of More Than That, we have a real conversation about art in the Black community, why it's important, how we can create more equity in the industry, and what our art is saying about us. Kimberly Drew is with us, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm so excited that they are here because Kimberly is one of the leaders in this whole art and fashion world. Thank you so much for being here today and for spending time with me this afternoon.
Of course. Gia, you could ask me for anything at this point and I would show up.
Like, that means so much to me. But truly, I am so proud to watch you shine and thrive because I think your voice is so important. You create space for Black people to feel seen in art and not just in art. Like, you know, we all grew up loving paintings in our households and the paintings that all Black families have. Where do you think that comes from?
Yeah, I love that question. I don't want to overstate the commonalities in our visual culture and our visual upbringing. I do think that there are definitely some fixtures in terms of like our visual vocabulary. And I feel like for us, we had similar, especially as Black Americans, maybe similar upbringings and some of the images that we saw. But I think that there is something so incredible about everything from the family photo and beyond, thinking about these pieces of ephemera that help us define ourselves, help us see ourselves reflected on our own walls. And I feel like that construction of identity is a commonality that we all share. There's so much that the world demands of us. And in public, we have to keep ourselves together. We have to think about our public image and how we're consumed. And our domestic space is one of those few spaces that we get to completely define. And so where it came from, how we develop those images, I think is really relative to each of our own journeys. But it is something that is such a big part of self-determination and self-ownership that I'm really glad that you asked that question.
One of my favorite things about being a part of this generation is how much we own the fact that the experience of Blackness is art in itself, whether that is nail tips, like as long as SWV had in all of their videos in the 90s, or whether that is edge control and edges and how you can do, my edges don't do that. Speak to me about the natural art of just the Black experience, how you're seeing people own it a bit more and be proud of it in our generation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the key word there is ownership. The great gift of social media in this time is that we have these opportunities to tell our own stories, to author the way that we want the world to consume us, and to really stop and say, okay, this is how I want to be seen. This is how I want to be known. This is who I'm going to talk to. These are the brands that I'm going to shop from. There's this performance that I think is brought on by being a part of this media generation to say with not just our words, all of the things that construct who we are.
Speak to me about that transition of the power that is earned there, that we've earned from literally coming here as collected items and property to now being collectors of art and telling our own story. The power in that transition itself.
Yeah, I think it's amazing to think about the legacy of what it means to be a people who we're so disenfranchised in this country. And thinking about even artists' ability now to be able to tell their own stories on their own terms, to be able to make art in response to their own lives in a country that didn't even, like, we weren't allowed to learn how to read and write, you know? You think about that incredible shift in being able to build our own narratives. And then you take that, the narratives that are out in the world, and thinking about this moment where we're seeing a real push and shift in not only how these things are displayed and collected, but the potential for where those narratives can land. And so you can go to the artist or go to their gallery or go to their website and buy a print and have a piece of their narrative building, whether that's representational or abstract, right with you. Like, I love being able to, connect with people who, are telling stories that I feel really connected to.
One of my favorite things of being in the internet space during the pandemic is watching how Black creatives still were able to keep dreaming. You know, it inspires me to see you work. It inspires me to, I literally just ordered my Black Futures because I am so late. Do not fight me. But I wanted to talk to you about Black Futures because the book asked the question, what does it mean to be Black and alive for you today? And I wanted to ask you, since releasing the book, how has that changed for you? And speak to me about what it feels for you to be Black and alive in this very moment.
Yeah, I love my little book. I'm so excited for you to get your copy. But it's been a real thrill to be able to share this book with the world because I think especially after the summer of 2020, it felt like there was such a hunger and desire for Black content and Black business and Black stories. And it felt really good to be able to offer this as a companion to folks like yourself and other Black folks to this moment who are just like, I want to be able to sit alongside my peers. I want to be able to have space to luxuriate in the radical possibility of our existence. We created a book that is as much about joy as it is about grieving, that is as much about art as it is about food, and that is as much about the present as it is about the future. And so for me, what does it mean to be Black and alive right now in this moment is really just thinking about opportunities to be in, community, to be a companion. I want to help others in this moment as we all are collectively trying to find moments for reprieve. How can we all be a part of our collective healing? Black thriving is the only anecdote in this moment. We have to stunt. It is our duty. And whether that stunt is resting or truly like out here flexing in your Ivy Park or what have you, I love to see it all.
I'm so honored to have Kiana Stewart and Jana Handy of Black Market Vintage on today. They are curators of Black curiosities, heirlooms, antiques. They have a brick and mortar shop in Brooklyn that is incredible. Please help me welcome Kiana Stewart and Jana Handy. Hi!
Thank you, Gia.
Because y'all don't know, these are like my real sisters and we have seen so much, been through so much. We came up from the Rutgers days.
Okay.
And now just to be, in this seat to see you all grow from just being friends and then being lovers and then being home fiancés.
Hold on, did I do this? Did I do that?
They just got engaged. Okay, I'm so happy. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to put on my interview hat because I still want this to be a good interview.
Okay, so
what is the full story of Black Market Vintage?
It's a story that I think starts with my mom, actually, because my mom is obsessed with a bargain and she loves things that are different and unique. I was that kid on Saturdays who was being dragged to, every thrift store and antique store. And it was a hobby that continued through college, into grad school, and when I met Jana. And I just think her curiosity grew about what she could find in those places, their world in and of themselves, antique stores. And it just became something that we started to do together. But we really saw that there was a void in the market. Yes. And we weren't seeing a space that existed that we wanted to shop in. We wanted to find relics and objects that were related to our histories, to the things that we were interested in. We wanted to see ourselves both as shopkeepers, like behind the register, but then in the book section and the record section and the art and the clothing. And you really had to labor to find Black vintage and Black antiques. And so at some point we were like, all right, we need to be the collectors that we need because this space doesn't exist and isn't accessible to us. So let's do it.
And Jana, I would love to hear your viewpoint on it as you came into this later on in the vintage journeys.
I think really what, like Kiana said, this piece about being in the spaces. And so for me, I have all sisters. You know, the hand-me-down game, the hand-me-up game was real. And I was like, I don't want secondhand stuff. I've been doing that. You know what I mean? And so just like I had a very different understanding of what vintage was. It was like, you know, old oil paintings of dead white dudes. I didn't have an entry point. And I think really what Kiana did for me was give me that entry point. But just going into her space and seeing how she was able to curate everything, I was like, wow, you can really use this as a tool. You can use it as a medium, as a you know, a conduit for expressing your identity and your creativity. And so really the struggle or the thrust was to create the space that we really wish we saw.
Let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. In all we do, we are truth tellers. We work together to stay together. This is how we lead with love. P&G is committed to building positive change by sponsoring this episode of More Than That. For what's needed and what's possible, P&G brands have been trusted in homes across America for generations. Learn more about our 2021 Acts of Good for 2021 at png.com/takeonrace. Lead with love. When you think about the healing process of reclaiming our art and reclaiming our space in this history, what comes to mind as how it can help heal our community?
Well, what I know is that you can't heal what you don't address. You can't heal what you don't face, what you don't name. And so I think one of the critical parts of this work is that it really forces us to encounter all sides, like the nuances of Black stories. It's not just hashtag joy all the time. It's seeing trauma. It's seeing an immense amount of loss. It's also seeing a lot of celebration-worthy achievements. So I think the thing that I appreciate most about our work is that we really have centered the idea that Black people, both as individuals and as a community, are whole individuals. People get to see all aspects of the story, all parts of our stories. And I would hope that that would be healing.
I love walking into your shop because it feels like I'm walking back in time, but it also feels like there's just so much power in our future as well. And I'm like, well, I came from all this.
Yeah.
I carry the same bloodline. I'm of that community. I can do this.
I think I just feel very empowered. I think there's so much about this work that has just bled into other areas of my life. One of the most important things is that it has just given me this tremendous sense of power. Like what I see, I can create. What I see, what I ideate, what I think through and talk through with the people around me, I literally can bring that and nurture that and cultivate that into existence. And that can be transformational for someone else.
That is so beautiful. And it really comes through. If you could describe what the sounds and the feeling and even like a description of what Black Market Vintage, the shop, feels, sounds, is like, how it appeals to the senses, take us on a sonic journey of the Black Market Vintage experience.
So I see somewhat of a, almost like a general store. There is music playing, the door is open, folks are talking, they are seeing their neighbors in the store, and they're in conversation with the music, with us, you know, maybe they have questions about things, and we're helping them as well.
And, you know, Key and I are sitting behind the register, there are folks in the shop, and out of nowhere you hear, girl, oh my, come look at this, oh my God, can you believe this? Oh, I remember this, girl, can you, oh. They better have something for Deltas with this AKA thing here. They better, and so the community piece is the thread between both what Kiana and I are saying. And so, you know what I mean? And so those are the sounds that I love the most, where it's just like those epiphanies, those, you know, memories. Moments of joy, those moments of nostalgia, the memories, that those are the sounds.
This next person that is going to join us is so incredible and inspiring. We have on Larry Osei Mensah, who is a curator who absolutely loves to amplify and protect our artists and our art. Thank you again for being a part of this program. Tell me a little bit about where you're from and how the Bronx really inspired your love for art.
It's funny, I was talking to a friend a couple weeks ago, and he asked me, when was the first time you saw art? And I told him, graffiti. You know, growing up in the Bronx in the 80s, I used to have my notebook and try to tag. My tags were terrible, but I didn't really kind of grasp, but this was me just trying to emote how I felt as a young Black boy in the Bronx. Also, just wanting to be accepted. Around the time I was 25, I was kind of tired of living in New York. I had just read Quincy Jones's autobiography. And he talked about, you know, the freedom that he had when he lived in Europe. And that just sounded fly and sexy. And I remember going to a museum in Florence. And I would see these sculptures that clearly look like Black people. And just the Black presence in Europe, you know, throughout history. Because I think we're conditioned to believe we only came there as slaves, which is not true. And so it basically began this journey of trying to figure out what other information have they hid from us that we don't know and how to connect these dots to build a complete diaspora story. You know, so not just an African-American or Afro-European or Latinx or Afro-Latinx or Afro-Latino or African, Afro-Asian, but what is the complete story? Really just trying to do my best as a curator to celebrate Black and Brown voices, marginalized voices. Because that's, for me, what's the center of my world. And then also, you know, make sure artists are sustainable, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. Wow. You and I love this. I think it's really important that we talk about sustainability when it comes to Black artistry. You know, maybe some tangible things that you should keep in mind in the beginning of your art career.
Well, I always say, what is your why? Like, why are you in this? Why are you doing this? So I think understand why you do it, because then that's what's going to be motivation in the moments where things aren't going well, you know? And then I invite artists to think about, so what is the story you're going to tell us through your craft, right? So whether you make paintings, whether you do incredible podcasts like yourself, whether you make movies, when I listen to your podcast, like, what are the core things that I'm going to get out of it? And then understanding that however you define success, you don't do it by yourself, you know? So what does your community look like?
Absolutely. And the last question that I want to ask you is, the world of art is so exclusive, right? Sometimes when you even think about going into a gallery and you almost feel like you don't belong there, like you know that the air in there is not necessarily going to be safe for you, right? What do you say to people who are want to get into art but are afraid to enter into that world?
So I would invite them to join Art Noir's mailing list.
There you go.
www.artnoir.co. No, artnoir.co. Follow us on Instagram. And that's really how, you know, we came to be, right? So we started in 2013. And it started with something as simple as just field trips.
Yeah.
You know, I would just hit the homies up and say, hey, I'm going to Philly to see this show. And just understanding the power of moving as a unit into a space is just a different energy. So I would say, you know, rally your friends and go see the show with like some homies. Make it a day. But don't be afraid, because Black culture is culture. It's what is the heartbeat of this nation. And so do not allow anyone to tell you different and make you feel that you can't be part of something that is intrinsically yours. Like, art, for me personally, saved my life. In terms of when I got into it seriously, it was actually around the time my father died. And it reminded me of how finite this physical experience is and the opportunities and the blessings that art can provide us to shift how we move, how we live, how we see ourselves when we look in the mirror, and understanding as Black and Brown folks how powerful we are and how that power actually creates fear in other people. And so leaning into that power, whether it's through visual arts, cinema, dance, music, and knowing that's going to give us the extra gas to move through, you know, the ups and downs of just this experience in this country and in this world.
Art has always been around me, but I've never talked about it in the way I did today. So I am extremely grateful to Kimberly Drew, Kiana and Jana of Black Market Vintage, and to Larry Osei-Mensa for speaking with me and taking me through their journeys. Don't forget to hit subscribe, give us a good rating, and follow us at More Than That Show on all platforms. Thanks again to P&G for their collaboration and sponsorship of this episode of More Than That with Gia Peppers. Visit png.com/takeonrace for more on their commitment to 2021 acts of good for 2021. Lead with love.